Jesus in the storm is an event in his life that Matthew, Mark, and Luke record. The importance of this event is seen in Matthew's use of the word seismos. The word literally means to shake, to move to and from. In Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 23, we have Matthew's account of Jesus in the storm. We're going to read the three accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and I would encourage you to turn to those with me and notice the similarities and the differences as we consider some important lessons we can learn from this event in Jesus' life. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 23. When he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest, this is the word seismos, a shaking, arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." But he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" A seismologist studies earthquakes. A seismograph measures them. Jesus of Nazareth calms them. In Matthew chapter 8, they are on the Sea of Galilee, and storms are common on the Sea of Galilee. But what was not common during this storm was the fact that Jesus stilled this storm at his word. The Holy Spirit uses Matthew to use this word to describe the stilled storm, Jesus' death in chapter 27, and Jesus' resurrection in chapter 28. The stilled storm shares the same billing in the trilogy of Jesus' great shakeups as his death and resurrection. Defeating death at the tomb, defeating sin on the cross, and defeating fear on the sea. Hallelujah. What a Savior. As we think about these three accounts of this event in the life of Jesus, there are three questions that are asked in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and we want to consider them this morning in reverse order. And so the first question we want to think about is the question that the disciples ask after Jesus stills the storm. Matthew chapter 8, verse 27. Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Who is this man? When we look at the people that are in the boat with Jesus, some of these men are professional fishermen. This was not their first time on the Sea of Galilee. And in all their experience on the sea and all the storms that they had experienced, they had never experienced an event like this. Stilling the storm is next level stuff. This is something that the men in the boat with Jesus would have understood is an act of God, because they would have understood that only Yahweh, the true and living God, only Yahweh God can control the wind and the water. There are so many scriptures that we could turn to illustrate this truth, but my favorite one is in Psalm 107. And so in Psalm 107 in verses 23 through 32, we have a description of what the men in the boat experienced with Jesus. And at the conclusion of this experience, their question is, who can this be? Who is this man? Psalm 107, beginning in verse 23, I'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on many waters, they have seen the works of Yahweh and his wondrous deeds in the deep. He spoke and set up a stormy wind, which raised up the waves of the sea. They went up to the heavens They went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in the calamity. They staggered and swayed like a drunken man, and all their wisdom was swallowed up. Then they cried to Yahweh in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to stand still so that its waves were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. So He led them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to Yahweh for His loving kindness and for His wondrous deeds to the sons of men. Let them exalt Him also in the assembly of the people and praise Him at the seat of the elders. Who is this man? As we have devoted ourselves this year to the theme of proclaiming Jesus to all nations, that is precisely the point of the Word of God. The point of the Word of God is answering the question, who is this man? The point of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is to flesh out the reality of the person of Jesus of Nazareth. He Himself is deity. He Himself is God. He Himself is Yahweh, the great I Am. He Himself is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Lord of creation. He is sovereign over the wind and the water. In the beginning He said, and there was. And this storm is stilled at the word of Jesus. Look at Mark chapter 4, and as we consider Mark's account, notice some of the similarities, but notice the, some of the distinctions and the specific points that Mark makes about this event that, that we don't learn from Matthew. And so, for instance, beginning in verse 35, on the same day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, and notice this is very important, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was, and other little boats were also with Him. That's a fun fact. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern. He was in the back of the boat, and He was asleep on a pillow. That's fun. And they awoke Him and said to Him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, literally, be quiet, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But He said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey Him? The practical significance of Jesus stilling a physical storm is overwhelming to these men. And their question is, who is this man and what can't he do? And what they are learning as they are doing life with Him, as they are going along now, and one of the ways I like to think about this is that when Jesus introduces Himself, and we are introduced to Jesus in chapter 1 of Matthew, for example, there are 28 chapters in Matthew. And so we have this progressive revelation of the person and the work of Jesus, of who He is. And so we're in chapter 8, right? There's a lot more life that these men are going to do with Jesus. And so what are they learning in this event, Jesus in the storm? They're learning something about His person. Who is this man in truth? He is Yahweh of Psalm 107. He is God with us. Which brings us to the second question that we are considering in reverse order, which is Jesus' question to the disciples in Matthew 8:26 and Mark 4:40. Why are you so fearful? Which brings us to Luke chapter 8 and Luke's account of this event. The text that we read together and studied 2 weeks ago as we're reading through the Gospel of Luke, encouraging one another to know Jesus so that we can proclaim Him to all nations. Their question is, who is this man? And Jesus' question is, why are you so fearful? And so in Luke chapter 8, we have some additional insights that the Spirit gives us through Luke. Beginning in verse 22, it happened on a certain day when he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, notice again, let us cross over to the other side. And so they launched out. And then Luke tells us as they sailed that Jesus fell asleep and a windstorm came on the lake and they were filling with water and they were in jeopardy. New King James Translation says jeopardy. There's a little one next to the word jeopardy. And we typically think about a game show, but the word itself means danger. And so the little footnote in the center column margin, that's what the word literally means. It means danger. And so what Luke 8 verse 23 is communicating about this event is the truth that they were in danger. They were on the Sea of Galilee. This great tempest, this great storm, this great shaking occurred while they were in a boat on the water. And so they came to Jesus and they woke him up and they said, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased and there was a calm. But Jesus said to them in verse 25, where is your faith? Where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him. The Spirit tells us that they were in danger. In life, there is legitimate fear that is intended to point us to seek God's presence when we find ourselves in danger. Faith in him will replace fear. Conviction, trust, surrender, faith in God, in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, faith in Jesus in particular in this event will replace fear. And one of the things that the Spirit wants us to understand by revealing to us in Luke 8 verse 23 that they were in danger is that the storms of life are scary. I don't know if you've ever been on any type of water in a boat when a storm came up. My dad had a bass boat and he liked to go fishing, and my dad didn't like to go back to land without a boat full of fish. And so there were times that we were out on the water that, quite frankly, I thought that my dad put my life in danger because he was much more concerned about catching fish than he was getting out off of the water as the storm was coming up. But the reality of being in a boat, when you can see the cloud come and you begin to feel the wind, and then the water begins to splash into the boat, and then it begins to rain, that's horrifying. And they were scared. And Jesus' question to them is, where is your faith? As an aside, I just want to draw your attention to Romans 8, verse 6. And I want to encourage you to think with me this morning in the context of this lesson that one of the things that we all need to be about the business of doing is developing the skill of thinking spiritually. We need to think spiritually. We need to encourage one another to think spiritually. And most importantly, I believe that we need to model spiritual thinking. And that begins in the home. Our families need to see us respond to life under the sun spiritually. We need to be thinking about things from the perspective of the one who sits above the circle of the earth. We live our lives under the sun. But God has given us the glorious opportunity to see through the things that we see as we live our lives under the sun. And here is the importance of it in Romans 8 verse 6. To be carnally minded or to be fleshly minded, that is death. But to be spiritually minded is life. But it's not only life. Notice what else it is in Romans 8 verse 6. It is peace. And so what does Jesus say to the storm that stills it? He says to the storm, peace. Peace be still. And so as we think about this physical storm that put them in danger, we need to think about the spiritual storms of life as well. And whether we're talking about physical storms or spiritual storms, the reality of storms in our lives is that they are scary. And so scary storms are going to come and they're going to beat down us like mighty winds and powerful waves. And at times we too are going to find ourselves in danger. And here is the good news of Jesus in the storm. We can learn, as they are learning, who is this man? We can learn to fear less and to believe more. We can learn to fear less and to trust more. When the winds and waves of sickness or disease or temptation begin to beat down on you, look unto Jesus. Do not dismiss God's presence in your experience. Jesus was in the storm with them. Everything that they needed was in the back of the boat, asleep on a pillow. Don't you just love that? Undisturbed, completely at peace, asleep. And so what do they do? Which brings us to our third question. They wake him up, and what do they ask him? Do you not care? The truth is, no one cares more. The disciples' question is a question in which they question his concern for them. One of the things I love about Jesus in this event is that when they woke him up, he didn't roll back over and go back to sleep. The Spirit tells us that they were in danger, that water was filling the boat. And so Matthew 8:26, Mark 4:39, and Luke 8:24 in the New King James Version all record what the Spirit reveals to Luke in this way. Then he arose. He's going to arise again at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, but in Matthew chapter 8 and in Mark chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 8, we read in this event that he arose. And so what is the practical lesson for them to learn and for us to learn this morning? Knowing Jesus and that he cares, that will get you through to the other side. Notice again what he said to them in Mark and Luke's account. Let us cross over to the other side. He already told them that they were going to the other side and that he was going with them. That is the faith that he longs to see in their hearts and in mine and in yours. This belief, this conviction, this trust in him, this surrender to him, because we know that no one cares more about us than him. It is not the absence of storms in our lives that sets us apart as the people of God. And that has been true from the beginning, from Genesis to Revelation. It is not the absence of storms that set us apart as the people of God. It's who we discover in the storm. An unstirred Jesus. Jesus can be trusted in the storm. And the reality of Jesus' question, why are you so fearful? It's the truth that our greatest problems are not around us. Our greatest problems are within us. The main issue is the issue of the heart. It is what we have set our heart on, our intellect and our emotions and our will. And so as we consider Colossians 1:27 and we And we hide this expression in our heart, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we think about Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the one who loved me and gave himself for me. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Just as they woke Jesus up in the back of the boat, maybe you and I need to wake him up within us. Maybe we need to call upon him when we find ourselves in danger in the midst of the storm. As we look around at our helplessness in the midst of whatever storm we find ourselves in, we need to believe in full assurance of faith that Jesus himself is with us as he was with them. And so as we think about that Romans 8:6 about to be fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Listen to me very carefully. We can experience a stillness, a calm, a peace that passes understanding, Philippians 4:7. But Philippians 4:7 comes after Philippians 4:6. And so this peace that passes understanding that will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, how is it available to us? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What did they do? They woke Jesus up. And Jesus acted. And they experienced a great calm. They experienced a physical peace that passed their understanding. And their question was, who is this man that even he can command the wind and the waves? And so spiritually, we need to hear Jesus say, peace be still to our hearts. When you are in the midst of whatever storm you find yourself in between now and between when Jesus welcomes you to the other side, look unto him. At his word, peace be still. The wind and the raging of the water ceased and a great calm resulted. We can experience this spiritually. Jesus is able and willing to shake up our lives and to bring us salvation and peace now until he comes. The conclusion of the matter this morning is that the storms of life are scary. One of the great joys of preaching the gospel is I get to go to other places and preach Jesus. And I know people in other places and reconnect and make new friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. But I know you. I know you better than any other assembly of people that I ever have the opportunity to preach to. And you know me. We know one another. I know so many of you to the degree that I know what storms you're going through right now. And we know those things about one another. And because we have this knowledge of one another, what it ought to prompt all of us to do for one another is to stir one another up to love and good works, to encourage one another to continue to look into Jesus. He has promised us that we are going to the other side. We just need to hold on until we get there. And so, know yourself. Know that you are helpless. You need Jesus. And that is the invitation. Come to me. He is the master of every situation. He is the conqueror of every enemy. He is the victor over danger and fear and death. And not only that, but he is the loving, caring, able, and willing deliverer, savior, and friend. Do you know him this morning? If you do, but you haven't obeyed his gospel, don't wait another moment. Obey him today and be in full fellowship with him. When we obey the gospel, We are baptized into Christ. We have this relationship with Him in which He says to us, let us cross over to the other side. Is that yours this morning? If it's not, it can be. All you have to do is get out of your own way. Stop being so fearful. And have some faith. And the faith that Jesus has called us to is the size of a mustard seed. If you believe the truth about who He is, then you are ready to make the good confession. And you are ready to have your sins washed away by His blood. If you are a Christian, but you have lost sight of who He is, and there is more fear in your life than there is faith, and you're questioning whether or not He cares for you. When the disciples asked the question, do you not care? All they had to do to know whether or not He cared for them was to look into their face. Listen to me very, very carefully this morning. I care very deeply. If I didn't, I wouldn't be doing this. I care very deeply, but there is only so much I can do. I know that many of you care very deeply, but there is only so much you can do. When you look into the face of Jesus, not only do you see someone who cares more than anyone else, but you are looking into the face of the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. See His love and care for you by faith. And turn to Him now while we encourage one another as we sing this beautiful song, Jesus, Draw Me Ever Nearer, number 650.